Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study. And if you'd like to write to us, you can send email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send letters to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Or visit us and contact us at bbfohio.com. And now, with a current events update, we begin our study and then get right into our text, Luke 13, 20 and 21, titled, The Kingdom of God and Leaven. This is part one of two.
To the end.
That was a little loud. That's just to wake some of you up. So we do headline reviews in the news, and number one, communist liberals are forcing a serious crisis tomorrow in New York City. Tomorrow is November 1st, and liberals in this country have evolved into a soft form of communism, and what they're doing in New York is basically threatening to fire first responders who don't get the vaccine, which is anti-science. A lot of those people already have natural immunity. So this is anti-science, which communism is. It's not about science. It's not about your health. It's about power, and it's about tyranny.
Told we have 9 days to make a choice. Make this choice or your career is in jeopardy. Do as you're told, your career is in jeopardy. 2 weeks ago, the test and vax plan was acceptable. And right now, it is no longer acceptable because the numbers aren't telling the story he wants to tell. We're not sick. 70% of us have been sick and have natural immunity. Over 70% of New York City firefighters and officers are vaccinated. Our numbers tell a story. So I've been saying that on November 1st, there's going to be a crisis in this city. If 30 to 40% of New York City firefighters are sent home, we will have to close houses. This is going to be a manufactured crisis. 30 to 40% of the police department will be sent home. EMS members, a quarter of them to a third of them will be sent home. Sanitation workers will be sent home. First responders and emergency workers in this city, you know, we provide a service that complements each other. So when there's a car accident and you're waiting for us to get there to cut you out of that car, there won't be enough of us to go around. There won't be enough police there to block off traffic. Ambulances will be stuck in traffic. We'll be stuck in traffic. This whole thing is going to collapse, and it's manufactured. Yes. There is absolutely no reason for this hard deadline. The city should negotiate with its workers. They should have respect for the workers that got them through this. November 1st, New York City firefighters will be at their firehouses. If the mayor and the commissioner sends them home, this will be on them. The 65 fires a day, the 1,400 life-threatening medical emergencies a day, and the 80 heart attacks a day. It will be on them. Hold the line. Your rights are more important than their mandates. Hold the line. We are the bravest. Everyone calls us the bravest. What they call them on November 1st, you don't want to hear it. It'll all be on them. We know what they're going to call them on November 1st when people die because of the decisions they made to force a mandate.
New York City is like a small country. And if they push this and they make guys go home who won't get the shot, again, most of the guys who don't want to get, and men and women who don't want the shot, already have natural immunities. And the science says that if you have natural immunities and you take the shot, it's bad for you. They don't care about your health. It's about controlling you. And I will hold the line. I'm encouraging everybody here, hold the line. This isn't about obedience to government, Romans 13, 1 to 6. The Bible says that when man tells you to do something that goes against God's word, God's will, and your conscience, it is better to obey God rather than man. And I will tell you right now, that'll be the last one to take that shot. because I am not convinced that it does anything for anybody. And I've shown the stats, the science, where people are getting the shot, they're getting sick. But if you continue to get your news from the liars at ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox News, then you'll still think that that shot's doing what it's supposed to do. But if you turn off those globalist corporate news entities who are in bed with the pharmacies pushing the vaccines so they can make billions, sit back and count how many of the commercials are about dope. How many of the commercials are pushing dope onto you and your loved ones? That's because the pharmaceutical companies own the so-called news media in this country. And they're pushing something on you to make money. The love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. Amen. And that's what this is all about. A half century of communist indoctrination is finally coming home to roost. They have been teaching communistic principles in our schools since the reprobate John Dewey corrupted our school system. And we are now bearing the cost. And that's what, it's all part of the coming New World Order. I don't care how many New World Orders come across, there's one coming. And he is going to be, the leader will be the beast. It'll be a beast system. And it'll tell you exactly what they're telling you about this vaccine. They're telling you, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade if you don't get this vaccine. That's what the mark of the beast will tell you. This is not the mark of the beast. It is setting the stage, setting up the infrastructure. It's going to be all in place except for the beast and his mark when he comes. So that when he comes, it's a done deal. Number two, the evidence of the stolen 2020 election continues to be exposed. Of course, you won't hear this on your globalist news media. But the Racine, Wisconsin sheriff has accused the election commission of breaking election law in nursing homes. Now, despite what you may think about software issues, I've told you what I believe, and that is that Democrat Party right now is a communist party. And they are doing exactly what the communists did in Russia and other countries. They don't care who you vote for. They only care who counts the votes. And what they have done is made sure that if they have to get a certain number of votes in order to cheat and win. Hillary didn't get enough votes for them to be able to cheat and win. They tried. There are people in prison right now who cheated. They just didn't have enough cheaters in 2016. In 2020, what they did is they got enough people to vote for Biden and that did not vote for Trump, enabling the steal. Now, I'll say this. I don't care whether you like Donald Trump or not. I just have to tell you, I don't think anybody think common sense would tell me that we're better off with what we've got. And so what happened was you have a bunch of sellout evangelical leaders like John Piper, like Russell Moore, convincing Christians that God only wants you to vote for somebody who resembles the Apostle Paul. Every one of those hypocrites would tell you JFK was a great man and a great president. He committed sexual sin against his wife in the White House. He was involved in all sorts of sordid affairs. He cussed and blasphemed. What do I think about JFK? I don't have a problem with him being president. It's ridiculously stupid to think that the president of the United States is supposed to be a Sunday school teacher. If you think that's the case, then you have to then, if you know your history, you know we have never had a good president. Never. Ronald Reagan left his first wife for Nancy with no biblical grounds. I don't even have to tell you what Billy Clinton did. It doesn't matter which side you're on, what president you named me. Eisenhower, he had his woman on the side. Name him. FDR, he had a woman on the side.
How about George Washington?
He was a Mason. I mean, so, you know, it doesn't matter. Even the moral guys are involved in Freemasonry and Skull and Bones and all kinds of things. What my point is, as Christians, you know when you're going to get your perfect president is when King Jesus returns. Amen. Until then, give it up. You're in the world. And what we pray for is, God, send us someone like Cyrus. Yep. Cyrus wasn't Mr. Moral. Cyrus wasn't a Sunday school teacher, but Cyrus was enabling the Jews to go back into their land.
Yep.
And that's what we wanted and should have. But like I said, enough people didn't vote for Trump and enough people did vote for Biden so that they could steal the election. And it's through this thing called ballot harvesting. First of all, they get dead people voting. There's several obituaries over the last few years that says, when I die, please make sure I don't vote Democrat. It's in their obituary.
Ray Stevens wrote a song about it.
Yep. Too. Elderly invalids. They get people in their families who are invalid and mentally not able to even make choices. And they get the mail-in ballot and they fill it out for them.
Wow.
The mentally disabled. People who haven't or that aren't on a record or anything, they get them registered. They get their ballots. You know, they were going door to door and just registering anybody under any name. They didn't even ask for ID. And then they would cast votes for them. And they went out and got homeless, the addicts, the prostitutes. And I'm not telling you, I think, I'm telling you they did this. I know for a fact they did it. And they did it right here in Columbus, Ohio. And this combined with holding back and destroying votes of opponents wins elections if you get enough votes. And that's what happened. Here's what's going on right now in the state of Virginia. Democrats are freaking out because there were 300,000 of these absentee ballots mailed out to all the invalids and the people that, you know, mentally incompetent and all that. And they had hoped to drop them in the upcoming election just like they dropped them in 2016. And they were held up by the United States Postal Service for some reason. And so now they're filing lawsuits and trying to get those ballots. Because they know they won't win in Virginia if they don't cheat.
Yeah, that's right.
Democrats in Virginia are freaking out because more than 300,000 absentee ballots were not mailed out by the U.S. Post Office timely before the governor's election this week. This number of ballots is the same number that was dropped three times on the night of 2020. Here's former Democrat operative Bob Beckel admitting to these tactics.
In Virginia, Fairfax County still got 40% of the vote out, and I used to work that county, and we always held back votes, and it'll come in.
Held them back?
It was pretty easy to do. But
you were the guy with the boxes of ballots.
This may welcome down. On and win in Virginia, Fairfax County still got 40% of the vote out, and I used to work that county, and we always held back votes.
That was for those of you who hadn't had your coffee yet. They only need enough votes to be able to cheat to win.
What do you mean they held back votes?
What's it sound like that means? They held back votes.
Votes?
Republicans, obviously. Or anybody who doesn't vote Democrat. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. Or they held back Democrat votes to see if they were winning and they don't.
Yeah, they try to be measured about it. They try not to be too obvious. But in 2016, they just seemed to throw caution to the wind the way they did it.
2020 especially.
So for the sake of our elections, 2020 cheating must be exposed and future election accuracy secured.
Amen.
If you don't get your elections back, you can kiss this country goodbye.
Yep.
All right, there's your current events update.
Amen.
All right, the kingdom of God and leaven. Luke 13, 20 to 22, last study we talked about the grain of mustard seed and the tree and the fowls of the air. this time we're going to talk about leaven. This is the final event before Jesus turns toward Jerusalem to go to the cross. And as we, every once in a while, I want to repeat, our purpose here this morning is to teach you the Bible so that you understand the Bible well enough to have a personal walk with the Lord 7 days a week with your Bible. And a lot of these parables, people just have never learned what they are teaching, and then sometimes it's just top bad teaching, and they get confused by it. But this is the last parable before Jesus will turn to go toward Jerusalem and go to the cross. We're just going to read two verses, verse 20 and 21. If you can, if you're there, read it with me. And again he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." Amen? So, the woman here represents false religion. You'll see this woman pop up from time to time through Scripture. Revelation 2 and 3, there's a Jezebel woman. Then a Revelation 17, 18, a woman that rides the beast. And so it's pretty, in Jeremiah, the queen of heaven, you know, over and over you'll see the woman representing false religion and leaven being sin and false doctrine. Now, leaven is also known as yeast. And some of you may have made some homemade bread. How many of you here have made homemade bread? Yeah, a few of you, yeah. My next question is, why haven't I ever tasted it? It's just, you know, I see how it is. But I remember when I was a kid, my grandma make that homemade rolls, and I could smell them. We lived several miles away, and I could smell it. You know what I mean? But where was the, there was a, was it Wonder Bread here in town?
Yeah.
Whew, couldn't go anywhere near that part of the town without just going, oh.
Kroger
Bakery. Yeah. So y'all know what I'm talking about. We're not really against leaven. We're not against yeast when it comes to bread. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is Mark Levin, not leaven. And I just thought I'd mention that because people ask me if I'd listen to Mark Levin. And I'm like, no. But I do know about a guy named Mark Levin. Leaven caused bread to rise. And how many of you didn't know that? I'm glad you, if so, I'm glad you didn't raise your. There's, it's just so wonderful that when it's done right, it's just beyond. So leaven is bread, in bread is delicious. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody? Now, we use unleavened bread in our communion because of the fact that leaven represents in the parables and in the picture of the Passover. Leaven represents sin and false teaching at other times specifically. So leaven in the kingdom is bad.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure you understand that it's good in bread. Good in bread. Bad in the kingdom. Here's some poetic points I thought of. I tried to get my wife to sit down and write a song just off the top of her head, but she didn't have time for that. A little leaven leavens the whole lump and turns a local church into a dump. See how that works? A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and if you get leavened, and I'll say it this way, and if you get leavened, then you are a chump.
That's like Pastor Greg Miller.
Yes.
All right.
The idea that leaven represents the gospel and not sin and false doctrine is a result of refusing to compare Scripture with Scripture. A lot of commentaries you're going to see or hear that they'll say that leaven in the kingdom is picturing the expanse of the kingdom and how the kingdom's going to take over the world and it's a good thing. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that's not happening.
Yeah. Amen.
What you call churches and religions and denominations right now, most of them are apostate.
Yeah.
It's not God's kingdom being spread. It's a lot of bad theology, bad doctrine, bad denominations. I personally believe, and we believe, denominations themselves are not biblical. In the Bible, you don't have cardinals and popes and bishops and most right reverends and all that coming in, superintendents, whatever, coming into the local church with any authority. And that's what, now, I always have to say this, it doesn't mean if you have a name of your door like Baptist or whatever, that's not what is bad. That identifies so people know what they're walking into most of the time. But if that name means you belong to an organization where there's power outside of the local church over the local church, that's wrong. That's when it gets unbiblical. And then the question is, do you want to be biblical? And, you know, and we do that because we want to be as biblical as possible. But, you know, I don't think God's, you know, going to be striking people dead or anything like that over this. But, you know, we don't set the bar that low that we just say, well, God doesn't care. Well, he does care, but he's just gracious and merciful. And so we want to do things as biblical as possible. So we use matzah bread. And it's pierced and browned on the edges and unleavened and so forth. And that's why. Now, the reason we do that is because I believe Jesus was observing the Passover Seder at the Last Supper, which then is what we model, or what our Lord's Supper, our communion, is modeled upon. And leaven was to be removed for the Passover and death of the lamb. Now, at the time of the Passover, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't really say this, but the Jewish writers and up till the present, they'd make a bit of a game out of it. And they'd have the children go looking for leaven. And then that I was told, I don't know if this is all Jews or just certain Jews, but they would hide things the kids would find. And then if they found leaven, they'd give them a reward and that kind of thing. And so they make it fun for the kids. But let's turn over and look at this in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, 5 is where we'll start. And one of the things, as we've been reading, and I tell you, you read through your Bible, you'll see that there were huge swaths of time, generations would go by, where they didn't even have a Passover. You'll remember when Josiah had the Passover. You know, it was a big deal because they were doing the Passover, and the first time they'd done it since the time of Solomon, I think, and done it right. So in Exodus 12, 5, it says, "And the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die." Just before you get it wrong, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 5. I wanted to go back to 11 while you're turning there. And God claims the firstborn. And we don't have the time to go into all that, but that's get that in your head there and expand your knowledge on that as you continue your Bible study. In Egypt, they were in rebellion against him, and they made the choice that their firstborn would die. You need to understand that. God didn't desire to kill the firstborn, but it is the law. And the Egyptians, in rebellion against God, then they suffered the plagues, and the final plague was the death of the firstborn. What's going on in Passover is, again, God tells the Hebrews, I claim the firstborn, but if you will apply the blood of the Lamb to your door, then when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, spiritually speaking, that's true of everyone in this room. If you have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on His shed blood when He died on the cross, then the blood of Jesus is applied to your account. And God still says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's only one way to be saved from the wrath of God on sin. That's to have the blood applied. So you jump over here to verse 5. And there was to they were to have a lamb. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. That pictures Jesus, the Lamb of God, without blemish, because Jesus didn't have any sin. See, Jesus was sinless. Amen. So over and over, the Bible has word pictures. As I said in Sunday school, there was no internet. There were no TVs, and they didn't have pop-up books. They were word pictures. So this lamb, spotless, pictured the one to come who would be Jesus, the Lamb of God without sin. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month. So Nisan 14 was the day of the Passover. That's also the day Jesus was crucified. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now read verse 7 with me. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And so that's the blood being applied to the door, and the death angel would pass over that house and the firstborn would not die. You made the choice. If you didn't want your firstborn to die, you applied the blood. If you didn't apply the blood, you made the choice for your firstborn to die. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You go there by choice.